to United States v. Amadeo. All right. Mr. Hayes, good morning. You reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, and you can begin whenever you're ready.
Good morning, Your Honor. Tracy Hayes, on behalf of the defendant appellate, Joseph Amadeo. May it please the court, Joseph Amadeo's 84-month sentence was both procedurally and substantively unreasonable and must be remanded for resentencing. Mr. Amadeo's case was not an outlier amongst other child pornography cases in respect to any particular egregious facts. So as if to say, this is nothing unusual in terms of the facts that this court has seen, or even the district court has seen. So, for example, there were 6,000 images. Not condoning that, other than just to say nothing unusual.
Well, let me just ask you, just to divide it up for me. Procedurally, I think the argument is, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the district court procedurally erred by not considering comparator cases. That's the procedural argument?
Yes.
But during the sentencing, the court specifically talked about comparator cases and believed that they were not, they were different. So you still have your substantive argument, but certainly the district court didn't overlook that factor. It weighed it. It determined that those cases were different than what he had before him. So what, why is that a procedural error if the district court specifically considered the thing you're saying the district court did not consider?
Procedurally, Your Honor, there was just, I would argue, sort of a...
You just disagree with that. You just disagree with that substantively, which is fine. We have law on that too, but how could that be procedural error if the district court specifically considered that issue?
But it didn't hear. It was just I believe that it was just a mere passing of the cases.
All right, so let's focus substantively whether the statistics that you cite are so different from this case that a sentence below the guidelines, because this was a below-the-guideline sentence, right? 7 years was below the 97 to 121 months, right? So that this would be a shockingly high sentence compared to other cases. That's essentially what you're arguing to us, right?
That's correct.
All right, so let me just ask you about that. The statistics I think that you cite are a typical career history category one for this type of conduct would have received, I think, approximately a year lower than that on average.
That's right.
Putting aside whether a year lower is shockingly, a year difference would be shockingly high, isn't this pretty unusual where someone has a prior conviction for child pornography and got no criminal history points? Usually the sentence, here he got a 10-year suspended sentence, and usually, as you know, for that type of offense, you certainly would get a sentence that would be sufficient to give you 3 points and put you in another criminal history category. So I don't think you can tell me, you can point to any case where someone had a prior conviction and remained in criminal history category one, and that to me would be the comparable case, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily not here, Your Honor, and here's why. The court has to consider, even if we look at sentencing incrementally, he received a probation period in terms of a sentence in the state in 2011 or 2012. So that was years prior to this case. That's one. We also have to look at his background compared to what we see with other defendants. This is someone, that's Mr. Amadeo, who was on the autism spectrum, autistic spectrum disorder. He battled with ADD all of his life. He battled with ASD all of his life. He had other mental health issues in terms of anxiety.
I know, but the district court, again, considered both of those things that you just cited. The doctor, the district court said, he found that your client was on moderate to high risk to reoffend with respect to possession of child pornography. So he addressed that. And on this issue of not serving jail time on the first one, he said that's a mitigating factor. But then he saw another side of that, which is that even though, you know, whatever issues he had with respect to being on the spectrum, that he had a clear understanding after that conviction of the wrongfulness of his conduct in a concrete and compelling way, and yet did it again. So these are all things the district court considered, right?
Yes, but we're now, I believe the question, Your Honor, was comparing that to the other cases.
Right.
Whether it's in the District of Connecticut, in the circuit, or throughout the country, I believe the court started off with saying the average and the mean was 71, 72 months. Here, the sentence was a year more, 12 months more. Other than the previous conviction, which he received probation for, here we had he's still a criminal history warning. He still had that background. We're talking about someone who was on pretrial release for over a year and was excellent. We're talking about all of that. If we compare that with some of the previous cases that I cited in the initial brief and in the reply brief, we have defendants with not only possession but receipt and distribution cases. We have defendants who had years long, in terms of 5 years, or even 10 years long, of this type of activity, that unrelenting activity, when they were finally caught, we have defendants who were distributing these images and videos, who were set up to do these things, and all of those defendants that we cited still received sentences less than the standard data. So, for example, a receipt sentence in 2012, before Judge Covello, that's in our site, that person received 51 months. The guideline range there was 108 times 35 months. Again, that was charged for receipt. In another receipt case in 2012, before Judge Hall, it was stored, organized over 100 gigabytes of child pornography, including similar images that were found in Mr. Amadeo. The range there was 210 months to 240 months. He received a 21-month sentence, 27-month sentence. I could go on with other individuals, other defendants, such as Mr. Spicer, the 2010 case before Judge Thompson, where he accessed for 12 years prior to his arrest, 1,200 images, 44 videos. He received a 46-month sentence, that was a possession case. And again, I could go on with other cases. That's the type of work that we were expecting from the district court in terms of really wrestling with the facts to avoid the unwarranted type of sentences that we see here.
If you could just, again, I haven't gone through all those cases, but any case, give me any case where there was a prior conviction for child pornography, even if the person got no jail time, what was the sentence that they've gotten that would make this a shockingly high sentence? I don't think those cases are in that category, right? I understand the difference potentially between getting jail time or no jail time, and how that, but just the mere fact that there was a conviction for the exact same thing.
Your Honor, I don't have that.
Okay.
The only thing I do have in just response, I know this is not a direct answer, is David Day was still in criminal history one, as Your Honor has pointed out. So that fact, the fact that he had that previous conviction, that's baked into his criminal history category, as the court has pointed out. That's baked into even what we see in terms of the guideline range.
Okay.
So I understand that the court's concerned with that. I cannot point to any previous cases where someone has that type of background.
Right.
But here, Judge, also, I asked the court to consider that he was facing, a mandatory minimum of 5 years, which is what we asked for.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hayes. You have your 2 minutes in rebuttal. We'll hear from the government. Mr. Patel.
Good morning, may it please the court, Assistant United States Attorney Sean Patel of the United States. Judge Thompson's below guideline sentence of 84 months imprisonment, which is far from the statutory maximum, is both procedurally and substantively reasonable for Mr. Amadeo, who was convicted of his second crime involving child pornography. With respect to procedural reasonableness, to prevail, Mr. Amadeo would have to show a plain error. But here, based on his record, there's no error, much less a plain error. This court will presume, in the absence of record, evidence suggests otherwise, that a district court has considered the relevant sentencing factors. Here, there's certainly no record suggesting otherwise. In fact, Judge Thompson very clearly on the record multiple times indicated that he considered the relevant section 3553A factors, including the need to avoid unwarranted sentencing disparities. With respect to that factor, prior to imposing sentence, the court explicitly stated it considered that factor, that it considered the defense papers that raised that argument, and Judge Thompson put on the record that some of the specific cases raised by Mr. Amadeo were for a different offense and involved different specific misconduct. So in short, there was no procedural error, plain or otherwise. Moreover, the district court below guideline sentence was substantively reasonable. In general, below guideline sentence is going to be substantively reasonable in the overwhelming majority of cases. Here, a below guideline sentence of 84 months was not shockingly high or unsupportable as a matter of law. In reaching the sentence, Judge Thompson again considered those Section 3553A factors. It indicated the most important factors to be specific in deterrence, protection of the public, as well as the need for the sentence to reflect the very serious nature of the offense. Judge Thompson evaluated multiple aggravating factors, including Mr. Amadeo's prior conviction for child pornography, the fact that he escalated his conduct in the offense at hand, and the court perceived the serious recidivism risk. The court also evaluated mitigating factors raised by Mr. Amadeo, including mental health diagnoses, physical medical condition, the length of time Mr. Amadeo spent pre-sentence supervision, and the possibility that Mr. Amadeo would have difficulty accessing certain medications while incarcerated. On appeal, Mr. Amadeo is in effect asking this court to re-weigh those factors. The law is clear that the weight of those factors is properly in the discretion of the sentence. In addition, and contrary to Mr. Amadeo's claims in brief, Judge Thompson considered the cautions raised by Dorf A. In fact, after calculating the 2G2.2 factors, Judge Thompson determined that the guidelines were not particularly workable or helpful in very downward. And it should be noted that, unlike a situation with Dorf A, the sentence here is not one that even is close to approaching the statutory maximum. And then finally, Mr. Amadeo's argument that the sentence is higher than the average sentences opposed to other defendants under Section 2G2.2 with similar criminal history also does not suggest an issue with procedural or substantive reasonableness. As has been pointed out by Judge Thompson, the government's brief, the cases listed by Mr. Amadeo are not true like comparisons, as many of the alleged convictions for possession of child pornography did not receive. And perhaps most importantly, the cases referenced do not involve a defendant who had a previous conviction for child pornography. In any event, for any given set of data points, there will be certain sentences that are above the average. And the fact that one or more courts have imposed a relatively convenient sentence does not then create a sentencing ceiling within this other courts. Here, Judge Thompson explained the aggravating factors, including Mr. Amadeo's prior conviction, the alleged specific sentence. So in sum, the district court's sentence was both procedurally and substantively reasonable. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I would ask the court to confirm. All
right. Thank you. Mr. Hayes, you have 2 minutes on rebuttal.
Thank you. Your Honor, this is not, as the government asserts, claim error review. There was really no instance for obviously, counsel below, defense counsel. There was no time or even reason for me to ask the court or to assert any concerns with the sentence at the time. It just didn't seem to make sense. So we proceeded as we did. And just to address certain things, when I'm asking this court to re-weigh the sentencing factors, we're asking the court to even give more weight to something specific. We're asking this court to send it back so that Judge Thompson, the district court, the sentencing judge, could give the proper review of the request to look at the list of cases or cases nationally within the district, within the circuit, and look at the facts there, compare that with the facts in this case, that, and they will see that probably this case, the sentence here, did create that unwarranted disparity, if you will. We're saying that the court below, district court, failed to balance the proper factors in the first place. There was no issue with the factors that the government indicated in its sentencing papers and even before Your Honors. Right. We know everything that the district court did in terms of reviewing the factors here. But what they didn't do was, again, wrestle with the factors in terms of the other cases. The district court would have seen that we just didn't list possession cases. We also received cases, distribution cases. We even listed those cases before Your Honors in terms of the comparative cases. And we're saying that the district court gave that consideration to a cursory glance, if you will, and not the full effect or the review that it should have. I see that my time is up. Thank you,
Mr. Hayes. Thank you, Ms. Patel. We'll reserve the decision. Have a good day.
Thank you.